honor the Lord for his grace to us. So could you just bow your heads, please? Father, I ask that you would pour out your grace upon this entire house, because we are a house of prayer, a house of people to lift up the nations, not to prefer, but to simply pray, so that God's plan will unfold for each of us in his plan. In Jesus' name. The first thing I'd like to say to you is that there's not one person that doesn't have some bruises. If you think your particulars are separate from God, I've got news for you. God chooses those that are different, bruised, and broken. That's his plan. And he chooses to heal and set them free. But then the darkness comes. And I believe that dark hole is what he showed me this morning. Earlier, as I began to pray in the Spirit, when I was at home, I saw a snap vision of us connected to the vision that Linda had a few weeks ago about the bus. And I saw us all together with one goal, and that was to get the bus on top of the hill and have victory. The next thing that came into my mind was Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, you'll find that it says, when they were all in one accord, the day of Pentecost had fully come. And you could turn that around and say, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one accord. But it started with them 500 with their own attitude. How many know we come with our own attitude? When we come with our attitude, we expect everyone to adjust so that we can survive. Totally wrong. But it's where we come from. If they would only do such and such differently, I would finally have peace. Can anybody relate to that? Thank you. The next thing that came was, we await the next revelation of Jesus Christ. And then we will declare, when the day of tabernacles has fully come. Try that one on for size. Say, when the day of tabernacles has fully come. Yes. We need your fire, Lord, to burn out all of our selfish plans for the house of prayer. You see, every one of us comes to church with a different heart and a different plan. Not altogether God, because there's a lot of flesh in all of us. Every single one of us comes with, how can God transform me today and heal me today? If they would only do certain things a certain way, I would finally get a little peace around here. Now, none of you have that problem, but I found the confirming word as I was driving this morning. How many of you know how patient your pastor is? Especially following somebody that's going 22 miles an hour in a 35 mile an hour zone. Doesn't happen to you guys, but it happened to me. And the Lord says, this is what I'm talking about. Expectations. Now, none of you have any expectations about what we should be or should not be doing, how we should or should not be doing it. And boy, if they only behave, I'd have joy.
Amen.
Wow, they said it. Glory to God. So our selfish plans need to be burned up. All our petty and small attitudes, which declare our altitude. How high do you want to fly today? Are you going to be down there with the chickens? And peck and peck and peck? I worked on a chicken farm when I was in high school. There were thousands of chickens. And when the chickens are in a group and one has a little tiny injury and there's a speck of blood, anybody can tell me what happens?
It dies.
Put your hand up, because I can't hear all of you at the same time. Go ahead.
It dies.
It dies.
That's right. They kill it.
They kill it. They pick it to death. I watched it myself. One feather broken. The blood starts running. And within seconds, they all pick at that blood. And that chicken is heading for heaven. Whether it's ready or not. Might just happen to be not the heaven that you'd expect. What am I saying is a bruised individual coming into the house of prayer should not be pecked to death. Should not. I stress the word should. That isn't always the case. As I was driving in and I kept saying, God, what do you want me to do with this driver? And he said, intercede for this man. He's having a problem. I told you about my aunt. Willing to give up her life. And all of her heart's desires. Willingly giving up. Actually, 43 years of her life to live in confinement without any natural pleasures coming to her, so that she would alter by her choice. Now, is it godly to do that? For her, it was. And the scripture says, as you have believed, so shall it be for you. So if you're criticizing anybody from the religious realm, get a new clue. Leave them alone. If God can love them, so can you. By choice. Oh my God, they should be doing this, or they should have had this, and they should have had that. If they didn't know, it's not their fault. God loved each one where they were. In their book of Acts, it says there were 500 in that upper room, and only 120 remained. Why? Because they got rid of their own agenda. And when you guys decide to get out of the bus and push the house of prayer into where it needs to go, it's going to go there. But your own motivation to have it, let's say, adjusted to your comfort zone, you're going to fail, and so will the house fail. And that black hole that you described is where we sometimes live. Because we choose to see the mistakes that are done instead of what God has done already that is so awesome and so godly. Your altitude will declare your attitude, or vice versa. Yes, we can be so legalistic that when we see things happen, we are so under the tree of knowledge of good and evil that we want to tell everyone, do it my way. And I saw a yellow flashing light. And I saw it flashing. And it spelled the word caution. Do not judge or condemn. And then the other was from the verse that I gave you last week, do not let your hearts be troubled. John 14:1. Do not let your hearts be troubled because somebody is not doing it your way. Okay? Do not let it happen that way because it isn't from God. Then he gave me two scriptures, Romans 2, verse 1. And then he gave me Matthew 7, verse 1. So I'm going to go to Matthew 7 first. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So notice who's in the control room. It's me and you. We are in the control room. How much love do I give that driver this morning? And I found myself lifting my hands and praying in the Holy Ghost as I was driving. And he finally made it to 32. And I was grateful because it was better than 22. We got to a stop sign. He made it right through on the yellow light. And I said, wow, God, grace for me. He was trying to get me out of myself. You hear me? I want you out of your selfish ways. It's not all about how much can God do for me so I can get happy and maybe then I'll have a peaceful day. But to really pick up on where those that are hurting, to intercede for them until they make it to the victory. Scripture says, pray for one another that you may be healed. And verse 3, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take a speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? Then he says something so awesome. Verse 5. You hypocrites! Hypocrites! That's written in red, by the way, if you've got a red letter edition. What is that saying? Could he see through their act? Yeah. Can you see through your own act? Sometimes. How about, and can anybody agree, part-time? Yes. Depending on the emotion or your altitude. Amen. Amen? If I'm having a good day, man, it's not so bad. But if I'm having a bad day, don't get close to me because, Are you catching on? Okay. You hypocrites, first to take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. See, the perspective is when you decide to say, uh-oh, they're hurting. Uh-oh, they're wounded. Lord, what are you doing? Why are you showing me they're hurting? Because he wants you to take what? The place of the intercessor, the priesthood, needs to be developed in the house of prayer. You say, what's the priesthood? Well, he calls you kings and priests. Check out the letters of Peter. I believe it's the first letter where he calls us kings and priests. He wants a nation of kings and priests. Kings meaning authority is yours. Priests mean you can go to the floor and get you on your knees and begin to intercede for those who are having a hard day or a hard time. And stop the false pretense. Oh, I love you so much when you're in church and holy. But when you get home, I wish you weren't so bitchy. Well, come on. Tell me if you're not human. Okay? Thank you. You know, wishing isn't going to work. Intercession will. Oh, I could live in church. It's so wonderful. Take church home with you. You don't have a reservation on your seat. Take the place of those that are hurting and begin to pray for them with conviction. And then you'll begin to see the plank start to disintegrate. Amen? Oh, I should have heard a good loud amen. Amen. All right. Let's go to Romans 2. Romans chapter 2. If you read the Amplified, it's scary, so I didn't go there today. All right, I don't want to give you too much because then after all you might say, I can't go to church next week because ooh, what if he picks on me again? Verse 1. You therefore have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else. For at whatever point you judge the other, you are condemning yourself. Because you who pass judgment do the same things. Whoops! Meaning if I pass judgment, I'm doing the very same thing, identifying my selfishness. And that's how you begin to see how big that plank is. What am I saying? How many of you have ever been wounded in church? Put your hand way up and shake it around a little bit. Good. All right. When I was at the North Kingdom House of Prayer... I brought out the shawl that, or the, the talif that came from, that we had up here last week, because I brought it with me. And of course, they were all excited because of the grapes. And I reminded them that each one of you is a grape. And when they're growing on a great big cluster, which we have one up here that's showing, and another one right here. And if you'll notice, some are a little pale because they got squeezed a little. Amen. Some of them didn't probably get all the same amount of sun. Some of them might be misformed if they weren't in plastic. Some are a little more sour, right on. Some of them are deformed. They're kind of caved in so the other one can fit in. And I had one little girl that came up to me. And we had asked her to come up so we could pray for her. And she was approximately 20, I would say, 21. And all of a sudden, I heard the Holy Spirit say, bring Irene next to you. Irene is my wife. So we kind of squeezed her in the middle between the two of us. And I'm getting this word in my head, and I am not going to speak it right away, because how many know I have tried to test the Spirit? Okay? Now I'm holding her, and she's in my arms. Irene is next to her on this side, and she's kind of flowing between us. And we're both praying in tongues. And I hear, tell her, as a father... and as a grandfather, and as a great-grandfather, that she needs to forgive her dad, who couldn't do any better because he was crippled. Emotionally. I couldn't speak it. So I held and I prayed in the Spirit, hoping to hear another word. But the same exact words came back. I've never laid eyes on this girl. I have no clue anything about her background. And I heard the exact same words. Tell her. So then I took a deep breath and I said, I'm about to say something to you, young lady, and I'm stepping on the water. And I spoke the exact words. As a father... as a grandfather, and as a great-grandfather to a beautiful 5-year-old little girl, I am telling you up front that your dad could not do any better because he was a broken vessel. He was crippled emotionally. And he couldn't give you what you needed at 5 years old and 6 years old and 4 and 3 and 2 and 1. And I heard her mother who was standing to my left, burst out into tears. And she says, right on. And then I said to the little girl, would you choose to forgive him? I'm not telling you that he deserves it, but will you choose to forgive him and set him free? Because she had judged and found him guilty. And out of her heart, through the tears, she cried out, I do, I choose to forgive him. And then she tells us that she had not spent 24 hours on her two feet. She had been staying in her bedroom, in her bed, for days because she was so discouraged. But when she walked out of church, she knew that she was on the right path and life was coming back into her heart. Intercession. Taking on the pain of your neighbor. Taking on their criticalness. Wear it for a while. Wear it for a while. And then as you intercede for them specifically by name, in the Spirit, hoping that you'll pray a prayer from the Spirit of the Father, which is full of compassion and mercy, they will be changed and so will you. How is it done? By choice. Not because they deserve it. Any more than you. But because of the house of prayer and its commission from God. It's a house of prayer for all nations and all nationalities. That includes those that are today's Philistines that live in the Gaza Strip. Those of you who are staunch Republicans, maybe you better pray for the Democrats. Maybe. And those of you who are Democrats, maybe you need to pray for the Republicans. Huh? Amen. And let the independents obey the Lord. If God can use a donkey, he can use you. Come on. Look at your neighbor. Say, if God can use a donkey, he can use you and me. No matter how stubborn you might be. He'll get through. Because his love never fails. His love for you and me never fails. This is a house of prayer. For all nationalities, all colors, all backgrounds, and all brokenness. So get to be a specialist like me. Lay down your life and intercede. And don't quit halfway. I need to be changed. And I'm expecting your prayer to heal me. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, give them a clap offering. You got it.